walk alone. Step by step.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Groups. This is Thursday night, Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. Hi, how you doing? I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Jessica. So thanks for joining us tonight. And in a minute, we're going to start with the two-minute meditation. So you take a big breath in and out. Take a moment, get situated. Turn off any devices that make noise or that might distract others. At this time, it takes time to get connected to God. You let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. So is everybody ready? Let's do it. So let's get started. Okay, we're going to leave with the fog light prayer. If you don't know it, there's these yellow cards in the pews in front of you. God, let your love shine through me like a fog light, so those who are lost, sick, and dying can find their love through me. There is a solution from the big book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we've discovered a common solution, that we have a way out on which we can absolutely agree, and upon which we can enjoin in brotherly, harmless action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I've asked Steve to read the Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is.
The recovered alcoholic. My name's Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Spiritual experience. The term a spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate, overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes he's undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could have hardly been brought by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think that this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of a spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it a God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer.
Thank you. All right, folks, so please refrain from disturbing others by talking constantly and getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones on airplane or meeting mode or just turn them off. And tonight is pretty exciting because we have Isabel here tonight. She has a long line of followers, and I hear that she's a huge, big book thumper, and she helps a lot of women, and also it's pretty awesome. She's celebrating 16 years of sobriety tonight, and and welcome to all your ladies. I hope you come back, you know, after she's here for, like, next week and stuff. But anyway, Snow is her sponsor, and if Snow would come up here, please, because she's going to present a 16-year medallion to her. And then Isabel's going to tell us how she did it. Thank you.
My name is Snow, and I am an alcoholic. You might come here and think that this thing is about not drinking. Don't mistake the ribbon for the gift. The gift is the people here, the relationship with the God that you find through working with the people on the 12 steps. I met Isabel 6 years ago, and not having Isabel around is like not having Christmas, not having 4th of July, not having the Easter Bunny. You know, she is just such a joy. I am so grateful that God grabbed her out of the crippling jaws of alcoholism so he could share her with us. She makes everybody's life better. I know when I'm going to be with her that I'm going to have an extra measure of joy, of laughter, of tears, of experience. We've We've done a lot of educational things together. We've done a lot of teaching things together. We continue to evolve as God inspires us, and I'm always amazed at what God does with this beautiful girl. 16 years. Come and get it, Isabel.
Man, oh man. Well, hello, hello, hello. Thank you, AA. Thank you, Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a real gift to be here. It's a real, real honor to be here as well. This God and AA thing has been a really big joy for me since I've come into Alcoholics Anonymous. My sobriety date officially is October 19th, 2000. So it's like, woo, mother loving who. It's been a journey. It's been a journey one day at a time. You know, in order to stand up here, I have to tell you why, you know, what made me come to Alcoholics Anonymous. I certainly didn't come to AA because I was happy, joyous, and free. That's for sure. I came in because I was suffering from this disease, and I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't quite figure it out. My sponsor, Snow P, she told me that I have the winning ticket and that all I needed to do was claim the prize. And I claim the prize every day I show up to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I show up. I am a recovered alcoholic. I am a member in good standing because of all of you. You have made me who I am today. I am what I am because of what you gave to me. And with that, you know, my mom is here tonight, so this is a big blessing. My mom is 80 years old. She has one more year of sobriety than I do. So this is an honor. This is a gift. My brother is here tonight. My brother and I graduated high school together in 1979. Yes, I am 55 years old, people. Feels good. We grew up in a big Irish Catholic family, so I'm Catholic, I'm Irish, and I'm alcoholic, CIA, all the way. But that doesn't necessarily qualify you to be an alcoholic at all. You can still be Catholic and not be an alcoholic. You can still be Irish and not be an alcoholic, maybe. But you can be all three and not be in recovery. So I'm blessed to stand here, that I know. That's all God. That's all God. I came here, I'll just tell you real quickly that I came here because when I was 12 years old, I went to Catholic school all my life. I was reared as a Catholic. I know all my novenas. I know my rosary. I know my saints. I know my stuff. But, you know, it gets a little confusing because when you think you know all that and you're drinking to whatever, get messed up, you know, a variety of reasons. I went to school one day when I was 12 years old after begging my mother to take me out of Catholic school. I said, Mom, I don't want to go anymore. Jimmy got kicked out, and my sister had just graduated. I got to bring that up. And so she put me in public school, and I was eighth grade. I was 12 years old, and my second day in public school, we had half days, so we went to school at 12 o'clock. So that meant we had all morning to do our thing. And I went down to my girlfriend's with my sister, and I don't know if Jimmy was there. I can't remember. Because what happened was we split a bottle of NyQuil. Yeah, NyQuil, people. I see NyQuil at Publix, and it looks like a six-pack of beer to me. Okay, that's just what I see because of my experience with NyQuil. So we split this NyQuil. I went to school. Now, this was my very first blackout. Had no idea what happened. I just remember when I came to because there was a man looking at me, and he said, you don't know who I am, do you? And I said, no. He said, I'm the principal. Nice to meet you, Mr. Principal. He said, you're suspended for a week. You came to school inebriated. Now, I did not know what inebriated was. Come to find out, it means you're drunk. So my mother came, picked me up from school, said, Missy, that's a nickname. You're growing up too fast. And that just rocketed me from that day forward into a dimension. Now, nowadays, if you got suspended from school for a week, they'd probably send you to rehab, right? Back then, I got suspended for a week, and that was it. But now, they would probably take a closer look at your behavior. So, you know, it's interesting to think that I went to school drunk, and I got suspended for 1 week. Those were my very first consequences. I don't have a really big, long sob story. What I have is that feeling in my stomach that I knew something was wrong with my life. I knew something was wrong, but I could never figure it out. I just wasn't smart enough to figure it out. I knew I had a problem, but I didn't know what the problem was because my life was masked with a lot of really good things, a lot of good things. From the outside, if you looked at Missy Halpin, she looked like Miss America in my mind. I was Miss New Jersey walking around strutting my stuff. And it looked really good from the outside. I was class president. I was homecoming queen. I was prom queen. I was captain of the cheerleaders. I was everything. And man, I rocked with that. I rolled with that. I wore that. But underneath, you know, at the end of the day, at 12 o'clock, it was like pumpkin time. I was at the Chez Paris in Atlantic City with my girlfriends, Dorothy Thaxton, Diana Rodriguez, partying. We used to call it partying. Nothing's wrong with a little partying until 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. But I remembered I started to get that feeling, you know, that gut feeling like something was wrong with me, and I didn't know what it was, and I just hated it. I just absolutely hated it. And when I was 25 years old, I lived in South Philly with my brother. I graduated from college, and a neighbor came over, a friend came over, and we started doing what you call dry goods, non-approved AA stuff, and that really caused a jam for me. So I immediately went right into a rehab, and I got cured. I graduated. I stayed sober for exactly 1 year. So from 25 to 26, I stayed sober. And I thought that was pretty good. I thought I was doing really good. So with that being said, I went off. I worked in Atlantic City for Merv Griffin at Resorts Casino. I then worked for Harrah's. And I had this life beyond my dreams. So that's another thing that can go wrong. You know how we say we get restless, irritable, discontent? And everything went bad. We ended up in jail. I never ended up in jail. I never, ever got a ticket, a parking ticket, but I never got a DUI, none of that. And that's one of the worst things that can happen to an alcoholic, nothing, because I got away with my stuff, and I kept getting away with my stuff. And then I got married, and it was a big, oh, my God, it was a big, big, big party. It was like, woo-hoo! It was a showdown. It was a hoedown. It was like, woo. I mean, we were just rocking it. And after I got married, I started feeling like I wanted to die. And I could not figure it out. I thought it was my husband's fault. I thought, God, this is what happens when you get married. I should have listened to everybody. And, you know, I kept calling all these priests saying, you know, Father, you know, can you help me? You know, is there some sort of workshop? Is there something we can do? And I had forgotten all about Alcoholics Anonymous. I'd forgotten about all those meetings that I had gone to. I'd forgotten about that first step. And we celebrated our one-year anniversary, May 15th, 2000. And I wanted to kill myself. I absolutely wanted to go home and take a bottle of pills. And I used to drink and dial. Did you ever drink and dial? Yeah. Hey, how you doing? And I remember thinking, if I do this, I had a daughter. I had a family that loves me to pieces. And I thank God I never did that. I took one extra sleeping pill one night, and I came to, and there was an ashtray, and the TV had all these lines in it, and I called up my husband's friend, Sean Hanlon, and I said, Sean, I think I need help, and he sent me to Casino Serenity in Pleasantville, New Jersey, and I showed up at that group, and I admitted that I had a problem with alcohol. I admit it. I finally admit it that I needed help. And so then I got hooked up with a group called the Stagecoach Group. It's nicknamed the Rage Coach Group and the Shootout Group. They take no stuff there. And when I went there, you know, they kept telling me, just keep coming back, Missy, just keep coming back, Missy. And I kept coming back. And 4 months into the deal, my husband said, I want to take you to Italy, because I think if you get blessed by Pope John Paul, you'll never drink again. And I was like, woohoo, I am down with the Pope. Down with the Pope. I got the Pope and no dope. So I get to Italy. And as soon as we get on that plane, my husband says to me, now this is personal, he goes, you got bad breath. Because you got bad breath, you better drink that Listerine. Now, I heard about Listerine, right? It has alcohol in it. So first thing he said to me, red light went off, like, what? Now he wants me to drink Listerine. He knows I've been going to AA. So we get to Italy, and we get to meet the Pope, and I have a picture with the Pope blessing me and my husband, and I'm standing there. The Pope looks like he's saying, Jesus Christ, what is she doing? And I'll tell you what, within 1 hour, I was drunk. Within 1 hour of getting blessed by the Pope, I was drunk, down for the count. And that night, I remember laying on a park bench in Italy, crying. I just wanted to go home. I just wanted to go home. I just wanted to go home. And I knew, you know, that head full of AA and that belly full of booze, like, man, I had just screwed up. And I had heard about spitting in God's face. And I did not want to spit in God's face. And I came back to New Jersey, and I had a sponsor, thank God. And she said, how'd it go? And I said, not good. I drank. And she said, well, do you want to stay sober, Missy? And I said, yes, I do, Pat. She said, well, then you keep going back. And I said, I don't want to tell the Stagecoach Group. Oh, my God. I do not want to tell the Stagecoach Group I picked up a drink. And she said, well, you'll tell them when you're ready. So I went back, and I just sat for a week. Listen in, and this guy came up to me about after 5 days, Russian John. He said, Missy, how was Italy? I said, I was all right. And he said, well, at least you didn't drink. And for the very first time in my life, I could not lie. I could not lie. You know how, you know when an alcoholic's lying, right? Their lips are moving, right? I could not lie for the very first time. And I said, no, I did drink, John. And he said, well, it's all right. You're in the right place. And I knew that from then on out, I was going to be in big trouble because I went to that meeting 3 times a day. I went to the 10 a.m., I went to the 1 p.m., and I went to the 5:30 every day, Stagecoach. So the next morning when I showed up, Virgil looked at me. And my mom knows Virgil. You do not want to mess with Virgil. He said, you drank? I said, well, yeah, I did. He said, why'd you drink? I said, I don't know. He said, where was God? Where was God, Missy? And I said, I don't know, Virgil, but the Pope was there. And he said, uh-uh. He said, uh-uh. You didn't go to God. You went to that husband of yours. That's where you went. You thought that husband of yours was going to keep you sober, right? You thought Mr. Jim was going to keep you sober? I said, he was threatening to divorce me. And he said, uh-uh. We don't drink under any and all circumstances. God could and would if he were sought. You didn't seek God. You sought your husband. No job, no wife, no husband. That's what we go by. We don't drink under any and all circumstances. We put the plug in the jug. See, you got to remember. You got to go to God or go to hell. So I said, okay. And, you know, I'm so thankful that Virgil did that, that Virgil was like that fatherly voice that I needed to hear not to pick up that first fatal drink again. Because from there on forward, I was like, I'll be damned. I am going to do this one day at a time. And they told me, you want to do this? You want to do it? You got to hit your knees every morning. You got to hit your knees and you got to say that first step prayer, God help me. That's what you got to do. God help me. God help me, God help me. You better beg God, Missy. So I started begging. And I started noticing I started staying sober. So then I used to go to another little group called Good Morning Ocean City. So I had two home groups, Stagecoach, Rage Coach, Shootout Group. We put the plug in the jug. We don't take that first fatal drink. And I have Good Morning Ocean City. And they met at 7:30 in the morning. Because, see, I never got up before double digits. So I wanted to start getting a little discipline. I wanted to start growing. You either grow or you go. So I went to Good Morning Ocean City. And there was a guy that went there. His name was Johnny Mack, Philly guy. And I was telling Lisa, I don't know where Lisa is, but I was telling her the other day that Johnny Mack would come to this meeting and he would fight with the other lady, Val, and she would make the coffee. And he had time. Johnny Mack had time. And he came to the meeting one morning. And I've told this many times at the meetings because it was such a big help to me. Because my daughter was in sixth grade. So she was, what, 10 years old, 11 years old? And Johnny Mack came to this meeting, and I was new. And he said, he's sponsoring a guy in Philly. And the guy in Philly said, Johnny, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do when my daughter gets married? What am I going to do when my daughter graduates? And Johnny said, I looked at him, and I said, don't worry about it, buddy. She's only 3 years old. So, you know, in that moment, I realized that we come to believe in a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity, that there was hope for me. See, there's a principle behind each of these steps that God gives us, and God gave me that hope right then and there, that there was hope for me and my daughter, my baby, right? There was hope. And I was like, man, amen, there's some sanity. Because you know what? I went to a psychiatrist every Friday. I needed all the help I could get. I needed all the help I could get. And that Good Morning Ocean City group that met at 7:30 in the morning, and I got there late every day, but, man, I showed up. I was smoking. I was puffing tough, honey, drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes, driving to the meeting. But that meeting only met Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. There was another group, Trudgers, that I went to. And Trudgers was on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Friday. So, you know, trudging the road to happy destiny. So that's an ab-seeking group. That's right outside of Atlantic City. So I would go there on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Friday. And I went there, and guess what they were doing? They were doing a Joe and Charlie big book. You know Joe and Charlie, right? So I was rocking Joe and Charlie. Who's Joe and Charlie? Well, here you all know Joe and Charlie. So I went to that group, and we're doing Joe and Charlie. And one day they say, well, we're going to do a third step now. I said, a third step? They said, yeah, we're going to abandon ourselves to God. And, you know, every AA group I have ever belonged to is in a church, every one of them. I've never been to another VFW meeting or any other. They're all in churches. And it's just like the way I grew up in the Catholic Church. So I'm still going to church. I'm still going to church every day in every way. My life has gotten better and better. And I did that prayer. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt, relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will, take away my difficulties that I may better serve thee, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. You get it, right? I was turning my thoughts and my actions over to the care of God, a God I didn't really understand, but I knew all the prayers. So now I said, yes, 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 I believe. I want what AA has. Show it to me, people. Show it to me. And man, after I did that prayer, it said right here, this big book, right? This is a little big book. I got a lot of big books because I use a lot of different big books. But this big book right here, I started to learn. It said, next we launched on a course of vigorous action. And they wanted to know, what do you know? Nothing. Don't ask me nothing. What does launched mean? I don't know. Sounds like rocket it. Yep. Do you think maybe it means next week or when I'm good and ready? No, it means right now. So you're going to launch on this course of vigorous action. That means you're going to write everything down. And I didn't want nothing to do with it because I was scared. I was scared. I was scared. I was scared. And plus, I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out all the lines in the book. Can you imagine? I could not figure that out. I just couldn't. It was above me. But I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn. And God is good. When you are specific with God, when you say, God, help me, this is what I need help with, I swear God just gives you exactly what you need. Exactly. When you ask, you will receive. That's my mantra. Ask and ye shall receive. So I ask God, show me. And who shows up but a Philly cop, Murph. Murph, yeah, good guy. He says, I'll show you. I'll show you how to do the steps. I said, all right. All right. Show me what you got, Murph. Show me what you got. And he tells a funny story because I went over to his house and we sat down and we did 1, 2, and 3 with a group of girls. He said, now probably only one of you will show back up. And that one was me. I showed back up that night. And I came in, I came in like Jessica Rabbit. Hey, Murph, we're going to do those steps? I don't know what the heck I had on. Something red and black. I was rocking it. And his wife, Linda, was there. Thank God he had a wife. And so he takes me through and he shows me how to do these steps, right? And he says, this is how you do it, Missy. He had showed me vigorous action. You got to make these lines. You're going to write those resentments down. You're going to find out why you resent. You're going to find out what those character defects are. You're going to find out who you hurt. You're going to write out that 6th inventory, page 69. Write it all out. Write it all down. And that's what I did. And I went back, and I sat with Murph all night long. All night long. And the next day, I flew to Fort Lauderdale because I go back and forth. And I was at the Victory group, because that's my home group here, way back when. I went to Victory. I raised my hand. I said, who wants to do step work? Who wants to do step work? Anita raised her hand. I took Anita to Barnes & Noble. We sat down. I showed her what was shown to me. He told me, go home and pray. And it says that in our book, we remain to pray. We remain to pray. If all else fails, you remain to pray. You always go back to prayer. That's my be-all, end-all. I know that I can always go back to prayer whenever I'm suffering. So then I had to look at all those character defects that I had. There's a little theme with the jealousy and the greed and the this and the that. And I wanted to turn that over to God. I wanted to say, God, I accepted it. I get who I am. I know who I am today. That's God's grace. And I know that I did a 5th step like an extension cord from me to God. I know right here, the very first thing I ever learned in Catholic school was Baltimore Catechism, God is love. God is love. So now I know I got God is love because I did a 5th step. So now I got a roto-rooter. I went right to God. I bypassed all other stuff. I went right to God, direct to God. So now I'm looking at that 6th step saying, okay, I got some character defects. Now I'm going to humbly offer myself to God. With humility, please, God, help me. And I know what humility is today. Humility today is to ask God and others for help when I need it. And I ask a lot of people for help because I always need help. We always need help. We're sick people. We're broken in one form or another. We need help. So that humility is the ability to ask God and others for help. And I want to make sure that I constantly do that because then I'm going to God because all of you represent God to me. God is a group of drunks. God is that gift of desperation that I go to AA with every day. Make no mistake about it. I'm still desperate for this. I get good orderly direction right here. Right here. This is my Bible. This is the big book, which was created from the good book. So now I do the 7th step, and I'm humbly asking God, please help me, please help me, please help me. I'm always on my knees. Please help me, please help me, please help me. And now I got to make a list of people, and I do not want to do that. And that's that unconditional brotherly love. And thank you, God. So here I am. I'm about 9 years sober, and I go to a big book called No Balking Big Book Group with Robbie Walker. And it's Friday night. And we're all excited because now we did 1 year, and Robbie's going to bring in Snow P. Says, I'm bringing in this lady from Boca Raton. And I'm like, Boca, Boca, the Boca babe. And so I was like, I'm going to make her basket. So she told us all about Snow. And we loved Snow before we even met her because she was sending us all these little things from the big book, like the original How It Works. And we were like a bunch of kids in a candy store. Oh, what did Snow sell? Did we get a letter from Snow? What did we get from Snow? And so here she was coming to South Jersey. And I remember she had a host, and I made the basket, and she was into coffee, and I got all these Dunkin' Donuts and Wawa. And, you know, it was great. And the day before, my husband says, oh, you got to come to Florida. I was like, oh, my God. He says, yeah, we got a big event. You can't stay. So my mom, my sisters went to go see Snow Talk at our one-year anniversary. I did not get to go. I was never so disappointed. All my sponsees went. They were sending me tapes about Snow. I was like, screw Snow. I could care less about Snow. Snow who? Snow. Yeah, Snow this. So God is good. God is good. So that was about probably 8 years ago. I come back to Florida. I'm going back and forth. I'm in Victory, right? And now I'm knitting, right? And at that No Balkan Big Book group, I met a girl named Debbie. And Debbie looked like a runner. I always wanted to run. I always wanted to learn how to run. I kept the sneakers under the bed just in case I wanted to take a run. But, man, I always wanted to be a runner. And this girl, she looked like she ran to the meeting. I went up to her. I said, are you a runner? She goes, yeah. I said, did you run here? She goes, yeah. I said, can you teach me how to run? She goes, yeah. I said, are you a newcomer? She goes, yeah. I said, I'll sponsor you to teach me how to run. She goes, well, this girl, she taught me how to run. I run real slow, but I'm a runner. Yeah. So I learned how to run in Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, run enough to do triathlons. I did the Philly half marathon. I mean, serious. Yeah, I never ran a mile in my life. When I started running with her, she said, we went out for a run. She goes, what do you usually do? I said, I usually walk run. She goes, oh, all right. She goes, all right, well, let's take a run. We took this run, and we got to the stop sign. I started walking. She goes, oh, I keep running. I said, all right. We got to the next stop sign. I started walking. She goes, why are you walking? I said, because I walk run. She goes, what do you want to be, Missy? A walker or a runner? I said, runner. She goes, then keep running. And that's how I learned how to run. So the little girl I sponsored in AA taught me how to run. Then another girl in AA taught me how to knit. So, but I started learning all this stuff in AA, outside stuff, living stuff. Like, I started to learn how to live my life. It was kind of pretty cool. Stagecoach group told me to hire a house cleaner to help me clean, to get it right. They said, you get a little house cleaner, get somebody to help you. You need help. Besides that psychiatrist you got. Right? You need to keep going to God, Missy. And I kept going to God. And I kept getting all this help. So now here I come back to Fort Lauderdale. I'm knitting, man. I'm making scarves. Mommy got one. Right? So I'm making scarves. And I'm in this meeting one day. And, you know, we go around. And the lady says, oh, my name's Snow. I'm an alcoholic. Snow? Who's that? So afterwards, I said to her, yeah, I know a lady named Snow. It's not a common name, you know. She goes, yeah, I know. And I said, this lady I know, she came to South Jersey to the No Balkan Big Book group. She goes, yeah, that's me. I go, oh, my God, did you get my basket? I'm the one that made the basket. Snow was gracious enough to say, oh, yes, that was the most beautiful basket. So I said to her, I've been looking for a Fort Lauderdale sponsor for 10 years. You're my sponsor. She goes, you got to ask. Yeah, she sent me right straight. She's from the Bronx or Brooklyn or wherever. I said, will you be my sponsor? She goes, yeah. I was 9.5 years sober. Susie was there. And then 10 years sober. That's a big amount of time, right? I mean, 16 years, 10 years, it's a long time. People like us don't do anything for 10 minutes without giving up, right? I join a gym, I quit, I want my money back. That's the kind of person I am. Really? Really? So she goes, we go to Joe's meeting, right? Susie's there. And Snow's going to give me my medallion like she did tonight. And this is the first, you know, it's the first medallion she ever gave me. And she's got her, she goes, I'm giving you my medallion. Susie goes, that thing's a relic. It's like, yes, yes, yes. So here I am. I got to make amends. I'm on step 9. So now I got to really put it to the test. And there is one girl. Now, I had done all the amends because now I'm 10 years into it. But there is one girl in AA. I do not want to give her an amends. And she came across my path, and I was upset. I mean, I am not, that girl owes me an apology, right? We got sober together. Her name was Nancy, right? So now every time I saw anyone with the name Nancy, I did not like them. Did not like anyone named Nancy. Don't come near me, Nancy. Fancy Nancy this. I know about you, Nancy. So, man, I had a problem. Because there were a lot of Nancys in AA. I was like, woo, which Nancy are you? Yeah, I know about you, Nancy. So this Nancy came up, and I called Snow, and I said, oh, my God. Snow, I'm not giving her an apology. She owes me an apology. After what she did, she owes me an apology. Snow said to me, Isabel, all you have to do is pray for the willingness. Right? It really boiled down to one thing. Just pray for the willingness. I was like, oh, man, she let me off the hook. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm so happy with Snow. Man, that was easy. And I started praying because we got a little prayer for that too, right? The resentment prayer. They said 2 weeks. It took me 2 years. Okay. Susie was with me. We went to Arizona. I stood on the mountain, way up on the mountain. Told it on the mountain. God, I'm giving it to you. I'm up way high, God. I'm giving it to you. I'm going direct. Take this Nancy right out of my life. And do it quick. And so I'm waiting, 2 weeks. 2 weeks, God. And I'm praying. Because now I got willingness. And I never saw her. Right, but I go to a lot of meetings, you can tell, Trudgers, Good Morning Ocean City, Stagecoach, Victory. So I go to meetings, people. I'm a meeting maker. So now I go to this Thursday night meeting in Jersey. Show up. It's a big crowd like this. And I see this girl across the room, and she sees me, I see her, and she looks nice, and she gives me this big smile, and I think it's Nancy. My God, is that Nancy? So I smile back. When someone's nice to me, I'm nice to them. But if you cut me, mm-mm. So she's nice. I'm thinking, wow, that's nice. So I go over, say, hey, Nancy, how you doing? She goes, good. She goes, can we get together? I said, yeah, sure. She goes, give me a call. And I said, I don't have her. I chucked her number out the window. I said, Nancy, you mind? I need that number again. So we get together. I meet her in Atlantic City. She moved to Atlantic City. And she said, I just wanted to apologize. And I said, well, it's about time. Because, Nancy, I've been praying like a nun. I mean, a nun. My sponsor told me I need a willingness. So thank God you smiled. And that's all it took was one little smile. That's a God shot. Did you ever have one of them? They're God shots. Is it odd or is it God? That was a God shot. So I was, man, that's like a weight being lifted off your shoulder. I mean, it was amazing. And now here I stand before you continuing on in this journey. It takes a lot of grit, day in, day out. I live with a lot of alcohol. I live with a lot of stuff in my life. It's not easy, and it's not easy really for any of us, I don't think. I think that we all get life every day. Life gets lifey. I forget what it is on page 52. I was asking Heather, about that the other day, that when life gets lifey, and it says it in the book. Well, let me see, because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road. She said, I know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, yeah. This is what it says. Oh, we were having troubles. Really? This is without alcohol. With personal relationships, sober. We couldn't control our emotional natures sober? That seems odd. We were prey to misery sober? Because that happens, right? And we're sober? So I've got to go to God every time something like this happens. Every time life shows up and I don't know what to do. I got to look at who I am. You know that song, I don't know if it's by Peter Gabriel, Peter, who are you? Who are you? I really want to know. Who the? I said, whoa. Now I know. I got a problem. I have a drinking problem. I had a drinking problem. I got a thinking problem. See page 52? Because it tells me I got to live this life to its fullest. I want to live life to its complete. I want to abandon myself to God. And when I abandon myself to God, that means I'm throwing myself down. I'm throwing myself out there. How do I do that? And then it talks about the prayer and meditation. Not pills and medication. Prayer and meditation. So I know how to pray because I told you I went to Catholic school. I know all my novenas. I know my glory bees. I know. But to really talk to God and then to really listen to God. So I've learned a couple things along the way. One thing that I learned that I really loved was the one-minute meditation because I could do a one-minute meditation. I could set that timer for 1 minute. I want to say more of you, God, less of me. More of you, God, less of me. More of you, God, less of me. I get in the way. But when I'm standing on this, this is good stuff. So with that prayer and meditation, then I started to learn because I got into yoga. That was another thing that I learned how to do because I'm a sober woman. I started to learn how to do things, not just running, not just swimming, not just knitting. I started to really learn how to live my life. I got into this yoga and how to do yoga. They did the oh. It's like smoking a joint. It's like, whoa, man, that's an ohm. But they taught me how to meditate for Susie and I. We went to this ashram, right? Ashram. Right? So here we are, 5:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, doing the ohm. Right? 25 minutes. I'd be scratching her back. She'd be scratching me. I love it. I was like, woo, Jack. But the meditation is awesome, but 25 minutes is a little too much for me. But I can do five good. And it takes you to another, you know, that seventh dimension, fourth dimension. It's a seven for me. Thank you. Right out there, people. But it's good. But start with the 1 minute if you're a newcomer, okay? So now I'm at this 12 step, right? Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of what? These steps, right? It says having had a spiritual awakening. That means I woke up. Remember what happened with the principal when I came to, 12 years old? He said, you don't know who I am, right? So now I'm awake. Now I can see clearly. I can see clearly now that the drink is gone. And I'm so happy about that because now I can really do the work. Because once you learn, you teach. If you get, you give. And that's what I was taught. All those little slogans we have, keep coming back, that means keep giving back. Keep giving back of what you have. And I learned so much, so much. I'm so grateful. I gave you a little bit of what happened. One of the big things that happened in my life was I got my family back. So when I say hi, family, my name's Isabel, I'm an alcoholic, I mean it. I really, really mean that. I've always had my family. My family loves me. I love my family. We are a close-knit Irish Catholic family. My mom's a rock. She's the matriarch. So we got that. And some of you may or may not have that. But when I was 18 years old and I went to college, I got pregnant. First love, first life, you know, all that good stuff. I was in love. Now, I decided to have this child and give this child up for adoption. And that's a big move. You know, everything that we do affects who we are, every little thing. Just like if you get that DUI or you run somebody over tragically, you don't pay your electric bill, you don't get electricity, right? So everything we do has a consequence. And I gave that boy up for adoption. And I remembered I went to church every morning. I thank God I was born the way I was and into the family that I have because I knew to go to God. And I remembered at this Catholic college that I went to, this nun, Sister Melissa. And somebody came up one day, and they wanted to humiliate me. They wanted to embarrass me. And they came up in front of a group of people, a group of educators. And they said, Missy, I never see you. You never show up. You're a no-show in the classroom. And Sister Melissa, she looked like the flying nun. Does anybody remember the flying nun? Okay, Sally, Snow, you know, right? So, yeah, she looked like the flying nun. She was a sister of St. Joseph, and she looked at this professor, and she said, I know where she is. She goes to church every day. She's in church every day. So thank God I had the wherewithal to go to church. And I prayed, and I let it go, and I let God. And God took that son, and I knew that that son would get life just like we get life, like anybody else. And when I was 1 year sober, 1 year sober, and I was doing the step work, and I was trying to do the best I could, my good friend was about ready to die, Marilyn Shipley. And Marilyn was like St. Teresa to me. She was like a sponsor before I ever knew a sponsor existed. She was someone that loved me. She was someone that took time with me when I was pregnant. You know, some people just make you feel like $1 million. You can't put a price on it. And I got that call. I was married 1 year. I was going crazy. And I went to go see her through to the final end. And I had a thought. I think I'm going to reach out to Catholic Social Services and try to find my son. I don't know why. I know my mom prayed constantly. Don't you want to see him, Missy? I said, Mom, I just want to let be. But for some reason, I had that thing right there again, that thing. And I called Catholic Social Services, and there was one thing I knew as a mother. I knew that if my son was anything like me, he would look for me. If he was anything like me, he would look. So I called up Catholic Social Services and said, Hi, this is Missy Halpin. My nun's name was Sister Levita, blah, 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 blah. And I'm here. And I'm looking for my son. They said, well, Lordy, Lordy, your son called here 6 months ago. I said, well, I'll be, So I knew God was watching. And then I met my son. I flew out to Las Vegas. I met my son. I was sober. I brought him a little book, pictures of myself pregnant at 18, his dad, his family. I wanted him to know that he was Irish and that he was Catholic. That's important to me. It's important to me. And he came back to Philadelphia. We had a big party in Jersey. And he's been a part of my life ever since. So for 15 years now, it's such a blessing. It's such a reward to get the family back. I have a daughter. Remember I told you about Johnny Mack? Johnny Mack saying, oh, don't worry about it. Your daughter's only three. Because the guy was all worried, what am I going to do when she gets married? And now my daughter's getting married. I go, oh, my God. That's just God. That's just God. That I could be a sober mom, it's just a miracle. The miracles in my life are just unbelievable. I mean, even to the point where Mike Chase has asked me many times, Isabel, will you do this step series? And I've said, I'm not here long enough. I don't usually stay long enough. I'm back and forth. And anyone that does stuff with me, I'm always into the literature. New Pair of Glasses. This is the book that we're studying now. 9:30, Coley Hammock Park tomorrow. Love, love, love Chuck C. We're one of God's kids. So I called him. I said, Mike, hey, it's Iz. What's happening? He goes, oh, my God, what are you doing? I said, I'm here. I'm going to be here for 12 weeks. I'm available. He goes, oh, my God, I need a speaker October 27th. Marion's not going to be here. Can you do it? I said, oh, my God, my sobriety date's October 19th. Yes! God, G-O-D, good orderly direction, right here. I wake up every day. I say, God, help me. My sponsor told me, ask him, Izzy, ask him. What's your job today? What are you supposed to do? You know what? I'm supposed to be of maximum service to God and others. That's my job, to be of maximum service to God and others. Now, I got a whole group. You see my people? My people are here. Look next to you. Say hi to everyone. Okay? So, Murph always told me, look for the one looking down. Look for the person that's new. Because you know everybody already. You already got friends. They don't have anybody. That's the girl you go up to and shake her hand and say, hey, Nadine. Hey, Heather. How you doing? Where are you? I'm looking for, I know there's new girls. I mean, I want to know, Pat, you know, I mean, Tamara. I mean, the list goes on and on. They walk in every day. I don't want to be talking too much to my girls because I know that there's other girls that I got to meet. We want to herd them in. This is a herd. This is a herd. We got to stay in the middle of the herd. I want to keep swimming. I want to do this. So I got to keep my eye on the ball. My eye on the ball is the new girl, maximum service to God and others. But I got so many opportunities, it's beyond belief. I do live with infinite possibilities today. There's nothing I cannot do. It's amazing. I mean, I just never thought I could do anything. You know, I had that inferiority complex with a, what did they say? I don't know how they say it, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Egomaniac with an inferiority complex. Yeah, that's what I had, people. And I came in here and I always say, you know, you got to chop, chop. You got to chop, chop. I cut chop wood, carry water. What does that mean? Chop, chop. That's what I said. Chop, chop. Do the work. It's an action program. It's not a sit on your hiney program. It's an action program. You got to learn how to do it. You got to learn how to give it away so that you can keep it. That's the whole point. So you can keep it. And the rewards are just unbelievable. The rewards are just unbelievable. Every New Year's Day, I do this. Take them through the park, sit down, we go through the whole thing so that you can teach other people. I'll give you a copy of it if you show up. If you show up, like Murph said. But man, it's so awesome to be able to sit down with people and say, this is what I learned. This is how I do it. I have two sponsors. I still have my sponsor in New Jersey as well because I go back and forth. So I am just surrounded by God's grace. God's grace is getting what I didn't deserve, right? If I got what I deserved, I can't even imagine that. What would that be if I got what I deserved? When I got this medallion, 16 years, I was like, God. God has blessed me completely and totally. Because I abandoned myself to him. I offered myself to him to do with me as thou wilt. He relieved me from the bondage of self so that I could stand here tonight and say, God bless you. Thank you.
That was pretty powerful, huh? Just thank the speaker one more time. That's about. That was awesome. Very good stuff. Healthy tears. Okay, and I'd like to introduce Freddie. He's my secretary.
Hi, my name is Fred, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. I've asked Kyle to read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in this group identify as recovered rather than recovering and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic.
Hello, I'm Kyle. We are not cured of alcoholism, recovered but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we are cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcoholic will remain with us for a lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem, the main problem. The alcoholic centers in his mind rather than his body. We are now sane where alcoholic is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
...1940-style Big Book sponsorship, from the forward to the second edition, Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sobered at once and remained that way, 25% sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, and come to believe in experience is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Can I have a show of hands of recovered alcoholics? Is there anyone in need of a sponsor tonight? Please raise your hand. Can you please stand up? Everyone, can we please meet him after the meeting, bring him through this book, and get him to God? Please join us Monday nights. We have a big book meeting in the other room over here where the big book comes alive. Fellowship is at 6:30, and the meeting itself starts at 7:15. We have large print, big book, and big book dictionaries for sale. We meet every Thursday, starting promptly at 8:15. And we ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the sound of the bells. Thank you, and I'll see you next week.
All right. Awesome. All right, so we have tonight's sessions and all past speaker podcasts online for free at alcoholics.org. And I'd also like to invite everyone to join our Monday night big book study. And those who wish to thank the speaker tonight, please line up in the center aisle and accordingly you can thank her. And at this time, let's close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thy is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen. All right, see you guys Monday or next Thursday.
smarter.
Something, someone, sir. Then I threw your
I get the banner?